In today's news headlines, the Senate confirmation hearings of Judge Amy Coney Barrett for the U.S. Supreme Court continued into their third day on Wednesday as lawmakers from both parties asked questions about her positions. Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican who 4 years ago insisted against filling a Supreme Court seat in an election year, opened proceedings by affirming Barrett as a pro-life conservative woman.
This is the first time in American history that we've nominated a woman who's unashamedly pro-life and embraces her faith without apology, and she's going to the court. This has been a long time coming, and we have arrived. So I want to thank President Trump for giving you the opportunity to showcase your talents.
That's Senator Lindsey Graham on Wednesday morning during the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings. He also shocked observers by referring to the good old days of segregation.
You're not aware of any effort to go back to the good old days of segregation by a legislative body, is that correct?
That is correct.
That's Senator Graham, who later claimed he was simply being sarcastic. Seeing the danger to reproductive rights if Barrett is confirmed to the court, more than 60 prosecutors and attorney generals have signed a pledge saying they will not prosecute abortion as a crime if Roe versus Wade is overturned. On Tuesday, Senator Kamala Harris was among Democrats who grilled Barrett on issues, including abortion.
In 2006, you signed your name to an advertisement published in the South Bend Tribune. It described Roe v. Wade as, quote, an exercise of raw judicial power, and called for putting, quote, an end to the barbaric legacy of Roe v. Wade. You signed a similar ad in 2013 that described Roe as, quote, infamous, and expressed opposition to abortion.
That's Senator Kamala Harris reminding Barrett during the Senate confirmation hearings about her positions against abortion. Harris also asked Barrett about her position on the Affordable Care Act and asked if she remembered Trump repeatedly saying out loud that he wanted to overturn the law. Barrett claims that she missed Trump's vociferous promises to repeal and replace Obamacare.
As I'm sitting here, I don't recall seeing those statements, but I don't recall seeing or hearing those statements, but I don't really know what context they were in, so I guess I can't really definitively give you a yes or no answer. What I would like to say is I don't recall hearing about or seeing such statements.
Senator Mazie Hirono also took Barrett to task about her use of the phrase sexual preference instead of sexual orientation when referring to the LGBTQ community. And in response to a question by Senator Amy Klobuchar about whether she understood voter intimidation to be illegal, Barrett refused to give a straight answer.
Senator Klobuchar, I can't characterize the facts in a hypothetical situation, and so I can't answer questions like
that. Okay, well, I'll make it easier. 18 U.S.C. 594 outlaws anyone who intimidates, threatens, coerces, or attempts to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any other person for the purpose of interfering with the right of such other person to vote.
That's Senator Amy Klobuchar questioning Amy Coney Barrett's knowledge of the law in regards to voter intimidation. In a question from Republican Senator John Kennedy about climate change, Barrett once more claimed to not take a position.
And you have some opinions on climate change that you've thought about?
I'm certainly not a scientist.
I'm not saying you are.
I mean, I've read things about climate change. I would not say that I have firm views on it.
Several commentators pointed out that her evasiveness mirrored Republican talking points on climate change. In other news, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden plans to hold a town hall on Thursday hosted by ABC. The event is in lieu of the second presidential debate that was scheduled, but that President Trump pulled out of because he did not want to participate in a virtual event. NBC has now agreed to offer Trump a platform where he can speak unchallenged and uncontested at a town hall that will take place at the same time as Biden's ABC appearance. During his political rally in Johnstown, Pennsylvania on Tuesday, Trump continued to spew masses of misinformation and at one point asked suburban women to please like him because he has helped to keep their neighborhoods rich and white.
Suburban women, will you please like me? Remember? Please. Please. I saved your damn neighborhood, okay?
That's President Trump at a crowded rally in Pennsylvania on Tuesday that flouted social distancing, like all his rallies have been doing. In his continued attacks on Biden, Trump also took aim at the former vice president's age, even though he's only 4 years older than Trump. Trump tweeted a meme mocking Biden as elderly and disabled. Biden retorted during his rally that Trump sees elderly voters as expendable and forgettable, considering his failures on the COVID-19 pandemic that is more deadly to elder patients. In fact, now the White House appears to be leaning toward a dangerous strategy around the virus that is erroneously called herd immunity, but is in fact simply doing nothing and letting people get ill and die. According to the Washington Post, maverick scientists who call for allowing the coronavirus to spread freely met last week with Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and Scott Atlas, a neuroradiologist who has emerged as an influential advisor to President Trump on the pandemic. The idea is being promoted by scientists who unveiled a declaration backing so-called herd immunity at a libertarian think tank-backed event. But it has now been revealed that among the signatories are several fake names. About 100 or so Democratic lawmakers in the House have signed on to a letter that backs international cooperation as a way to tackle the virus and a subsequent vaccine. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has rejected the White House's $1.2 trillion plan for COVID economic relief, saying in a contentious interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer that the needs of the American people, quote, are not addressed in the president's proposal. Progressive lawmakers like California's Ro Khanna had urged Pelosi to accept the deal. Attorney General William Barr's long-touted probe into whether Obama-era officials disclosed the identities of people in national security documents has come up with nothing. The Washington Post, which first reported the story, concluded that the probe had ended without any charges or even a report. Trump had demanded the investigation and described it as, quote, the greatest political crime in the history of our country. Meanwhile, the Justice Department has moved to try to seize the profits from book sales written by a now estranged friend of First Lady Melania Trump. The DOJ says that author Stephanie Winston-Wolkoff broke the terms of her non-disclosure agreement, and so the profits from her memoir were not hers to keep. The Supreme Court has ruled that the U.S. Census can be temporarily halted ahead of schedule, granting President Trump a victory. The New York Times explained that the move was akin to, quote, effectively shutting down what has been the most contentious and litigated census in memory and setting the stage for a bitter fight over how to use its numbers for the apportionment of the next Congress. And the Trump administration has appealed to the Supreme Court to block a subpoena for his tax records. Numerous reports indicate that Michael Reinhold, the Northwest activist who described himself as Antifa, was killed by federal officers without warning during his arrest. While official reports claimed he fired at the fugitive task force of U.S. Marshals sent to arrest him, dozens of witnesses have told news outlets that the officers fired a volley of shots in 15 seconds with no warning, killing Reinhold. Trump had celebrated his killing as retribution in a shocking case of what can be viewed as an extrajudicial assassination. And that does it for our news headlines.